starting with maybe my favorite observation of the entire NCAA tournament. And it all boils down to this.
Okay.
UNC is old. UNC, there's a.
If they're old, what am I?
Well, it's athlete
yes.
old, right?
Yes.
It's like I said earlier, when you turn 30 as a professional athlete, everyone tells you you're old. Then you retire and you're young again because then you're just another member of society. UNC is being compared all over the internet to the Oklahoma City Thunder. The Oklahoma City Thunder, for those of you that don't pay attention to the NBA, are the second best team in the Western Conference of the NBA. Okay. 50-win team, really gosh darn good. OKC, their oldest starter is 25 years old. UNC's oldest starter is 25 years old.
That'd be Cormac Ryan.
OKC's next oldest starter is 24 years old. UNC's next oldest starter is 24 years old.
That'd be Bacot.
OKC's next oldest starter, let me make sure I get this right, because I think it's 23, but I have it here in my notes, so I just want to, you know, if I took the notes, might as well use them, right? Next oldest starter, 22 years old. UNC's next oldest starter, 22 years old.
B.R.J. Davis.
OKC's next oldest starter, 21 years old. UNC's next oldest starter, 21 years old.
That'd be Harrison Ingram.
The only difference between the second best team in the Western Conference and the one seed that's still playing in the Sweet 16 is the fifth starter, Elliot Cadeau, is 19 years old, and OKC's fifth starter is 21. That's the only difference. UNC's average age of a starter is 22.2 years old. OKC's average age is 22.6 years old. That's absurd. There's no reason UNC shouldn't like operate in every clutch moment perfectly in college basketball because they have so much experience. And I'm like, yeah, sure, the OKC guys are making roughly $60 million more this year, but like UNC, I do think it's funny when it's like, oh, you know, these young guys, it's like, well, they're not that young anymore. It used to be like, you know, we all fill out brackets and we all have our little ways that we choose teams, right? My dad is legendary for looking up the distance that a team has to travel. And anytime he's like waffling, he just picks whoever's closest to home because he figures they're going to have more fans. I used to be I'm looking for veteran guards, right? I wanted junior and senior guards. Now I recognize like the freshman and sophomore guards are the same age as the juniors and seniors I used to be looking for. And the juniors and seniors are now the age of like second and third year pros that I used to follow. It used to be like, I need at least a 20-year-old point guard on the roster to play well in the clutch. Now a 20-year-old point guard is like, he's got 4 years of eligibility left. UNC is pretty much as old as the second best team in the Western Conference Finals. Or sorry, in the Western Conference, not the Western Conference Finals. Maybe they'll get there. I don't know. Let's quit that. Let's hit this.
Speaking of college sports, NCAA President Charlie Baker calling for a ban of college prop bets. And a lot of this has been stemming from Javonte Porter, who's in the NBA.
Javonte Porter, but yep.
Yeah, playing, yes, I got the name wrong. Sorry about that. Plays for the Toronto Raptors. There's been investigations regarding some of his games in terms mm-hmm. of massive bets on his individual prop bets. For example, like an under 5.5 assists. There's been heavy bets on some games for him to go under on his individual prop bets. And he's come out of those games. I use those air quotes. Be like, oh,
that's
because
what the investigation is investigating. How legit was it?
Oh, I had an eye injury that got re-aggravated, or I'm not feeling well. It's like, well, how are you going to argue someone isn't feeling well, you know? So anyway, that is being investigated, and Charlie Baker is calling for a ban of college prop bets, and has reached out to officials in across all states, all 38 that have legalized sports betting, to try and get sports books to eliminate prop bets when it comes to college athletes and what their individual stats may be. So, for example, UNC plays tomorrow. There's probably a prop bet out there for total number of points for RJ Davis. Could be like over or under 20.5. And you, as someone who's legally allowed to bet in this state, can bet over or under.
I get it. Mm-hmm. I see where Baker's coming from. Mm-hmm. Here's why. I think players are much more likely to participate in this kind of illicit activity that like Jonte Porter is being investigated for if they can twist it in their brain like they aren't costing their teammates a win.
Mm-hmm.
If you start talking about like final scores and stuff, it's like, I don't know.
That's point shaving. That's different.
Well, it's prop betting is kind of stat shaving, I guess.
Yeah.
Because you can like, you know, if your over under is like 5.5 threes, you can go make 5 threes and still hit the under. And then just once you hit 5, not take any more threes, mm-hmm. and you know, still cash your bet and still feel like you helped your team win.
Or really miss that one, you know?
Yeah.
That's funny. Like, he got to 5 threes in the second quarter and never took another one.
And you can do that like, okay, I'm just going to be more aggressive and drive to the bucket now. And you don't feel like you're costing your friends and your brothers a win or a chance at a win. So I get why it gets sticky fast. I go back to what I was saying yesterday. The only thing that the NCAA or anybody can lobby for is to make those types of prop bets not legal. There are big contingents that'll take bets illegally. So, you know, if you think they're willing to break the law and point shave or break the law and stat shave or any of those things, you don't think they can go find a bookie?
Oh, yeah.
Like, I don't know if making them illegal solves the problem. Other than it makes it so you don't have to monitor it, which probably just, you know, makes something easier for the regulators.
Here's the thing. Every single state has their own gambling/lottery commissions, and they set the standards when it comes to the laws regarding state. For example, not every state has the same legal sports betting age. For example, in North Carolina, you have to be 21 over to bet. New Hampshire, Wyoming, you just got to be 18. So every state has their own sets of laws. In Virginia, you can't even bet on sports involving colleges in the state of Virginia. So you can't bet on a UVA game, can't bet on a Virginia Tech game if you're in the state of Virginia. They ban it. So again, it's every single state has their own laws when it comes to this stuff. So I'm curious to see how all that stuff's going to play out.
Here's what I think is the best path. Spend whatever necessary to monitor it.
Which is what they've been doing.
Like Jonte Porter, like I said this yesterday, one of the games in question was March 20th. By March 25th, the investigation was happening. Mm-hmm. Are there more college games per night? Yes. Are you going to have to do more and more and more regulation? Yes. But make it so you catch them, right? That's kind of the way I look at it. If you catch a bulk of them, if you catch a majority of them, it's going to make it very difficult for any to continue doing it. Thank you for listening to the Best of the Drive podcast. I'm Tim Donnelly here with Coach Pete DeRuta, America's wealth coach and best-selling author. Coach, one of the big questions I always hear is, do I have enough money to retire?
Well, maybe, maybe not. The most important thing is you have lifetime income you can never outlive. We'll design that plan for the next 10 people who call. No cost or obligation. Put yourself in control of retirement.
Call 800-691-3215. You can also text Tim to 600-700. That's T-I-M to 600-700. You'll hear from Coach Pete and the Capital Financial Advisory Group. The Drive with Tim Donnelly, 99.9 The Fan. Let's hit it and quit it. Let's quit that and hit this.
You done messed up, A.A. Ron!
Stephon Gilmore, mm-hmm. One-time Panther, former Panther, in talks with the Panthers, reportedly.
Yes.
This whole, like, all of our Panther talk today took on a different vibe when Jadeveon Clowney signed. You want to know a fun fact about Stephon Gilmore and Jadeveon Clowney?
High school teammates.
Was it South Point High School, Rock Hill, South Carolina?
Like that.
I think so. Maybe it's a good old reunion in the Carolinas.
Might be.
I know you don't like North Carolina being grouped with South Carolina.
I don't.
But if it gets you Stephon Gilmore, will you close your nose and pretend like it doesn't stink?
Well, I don't know what Stephon Gilmore you're going to get right now. That's the thing. With his age, he's dealt with some injuries and stuff over the last couple years since the Carolina Panthers last had him.
For a hometown discount, though?
For a hometown discount, he might be. I don't know.
I would love to have Stephon Gilmore in the ear of J.C. Horn.
Yeah.
For the right price. For pennies on the dollar. Mm-hmm. You want to come back? You want to play at home? You want to play some of your beloved? You want to play with your high school teammate? First of all, how cool is that? Just the chance to play with your high school teammate in the NFL? I played against a guy that went to my high school. We were never on the – I transferred into my high school for just the last 2 years. So he had already left by the time I got there. We just wore the same high school jersey, played against each other. It was cool. I can't imagine being on the same team in the NFL of a guy you actually played in college with. That doesn't even compute with my brain. So do it for the story.
Well, when Gilmore was with the Panthers in 2021, that's when J.C. Horn was a rookie. So they have crossed paths once before.
Well, then he needs to
he needs to come back.
A little refresher.
Yeah, exactly.
See what you've learned since the last time I was here. Well, as a rookie, you're just trying to figure out, like, you know, where's the dining hall? Now you can get into, like, hey, when you're guarding Drake London, here's what you need to do. Like, you can get into graduate-level courses now. You're right. I forgot that they actually overlap.
He needs all the intensives J.C. Horn does about how to stay healthy.
Yeah, do what I've been doing the last couple years, says Stephon Gilmore.
Yeah, but at least Stephon Gilmore is actually – well, he's approaching his age 34 season.
Is he an Evero guy? If he's an Evero guy, bring him in. For the right price. That's my trap door. So that way when they bring him in, if it's too much, I'm like, I hate this deal. I said for the right price. What is the right price? $4. Like, get him to agree to a $1.4 million deal, and I'm all in. Let's quit that. Let's hit this.
You like that?
Speaking of the Panthers, it's mock draft season. Draft season. But you know what?
Mock season. Rabbit season. Mock season.
You know, it's interesting how we've gone from, in the past, it was just a first-round mock draft. That's all everyone did. And then eventually
it was like the first 10 picks.
It used to be. Here's the first 10 picks, and then we'll just see what happens. And then eventually got into full first round. And like, hey, let's do the first two rounds. Now we're getting full on.
Let's do day one and day two.
250 some odd picks.
Now it's here's my 2026 mock draft.
Exactly. Here's my 2028 with guys who are still in high school right now. But
I got an eighth grader that everyone's going to blow your mind.
But it looks like people are projecting that South Carolina wide receiver Xavier Leggett going to the Panthers with the 33rd overall pick. Tim, I know you're a big fan of this.
I'm a fan of them getting a wide receiver with the 33rd.
Yes.
Xavier Leggett appears to be now. I'm going to break one of my pet peeves here. But one of my most annoying things about mock drafts are the player comps that everybody gives, because nobody ever gives like a normal player comp. It's always an All-Pro, right? It's
NHL does that a lot.
It's anyone that's ever thrown a pass halfway sidearm. It's like Patrick Mahomes arm angle, and I'm like, it could also be Zach Wilson arm angle. Like I want to be clear here. Most comps are style, not quality. They play like this person. They don't play as well as this person. Leggett kind of falls in the A.J. Brown category of I'm a physical marvel, and I'm just going to be a level above you in strength and power and those things. I think you're going to have your choice of what kind of wide receiver do you want at 33. Now, obviously, the Malik Nabers, who destroyed his pro day today, absolutely ripped it. The Marvin Harrison Juniors, the Roma Dunzes, those are going to be gone. Probably Brian Thomas, probably Xavier Worthy, a few others. But, you know, I've heard from people that I trust, there's a tier that falls off at 12 after the first 12 wide receivers.
Oh, okay.
Which seems absurd. But what that means is you could have six first-rounders and still have six options to take it 33rd overall.
Or 39. Yeah,
or
both.
39. But one thing is going to happen is if you have six wide receivers that you're, like, entertaining, you're going to have a tall wide receiver. You're going to have a jump ball wide receiver. You're going to have a speed wide receiver. You're going to have the A.J. Brown-style receiver. You're going to have the route runner wide. Like, you're going to have your options. So I love them taking a wide receiver at 33. I haven't decided if Leggett's the guy that has the apple of my eye right now, but I'm open to it. I will say this about the mock draft, the same mock draft you were talking about. Mm-hmm. Graham Barton out of Duke, solid first rounder. He's in like the mid-20s.
Yeah.
Drake May went number 3 after Minnesota traded up to 3 to take him, which means Jaden Daniels went number 2 to Washington. And Peyton Wilson out of NC State was a mid-second round pick, and it was to me, Peyton Wilson is one of like the few non-mysteries in the draft. They're like, he's 24, you're worried about his injuries, but his tape is unbelievable. Mid-second.
Yeah.
And it's just like, that's exactly what it is. When he's on the field, he's the best player on the field. He's been hurt a lot. He's a bit older. Do with that what you will. And that's exactly what they did.
By the way, Leggett at the NFL Combine measured at 6'1", 221, and ran a 4.3, 940. So big and fast.
The big, tall, strong, fast guys? I usually like to draft the big, tall, strong, fast guys.
I like those guys.
Especially those that produced like he did his last year at South Carolina.
Are you ready for the big game? At The Designery, we can help you arrange your kitchen in the perfect way to feed everyone coming over for the big game. I'm Dana Merrill, the owner of The Designery in North Raleigh.
And I am Drew Merrill. I am the project manager.
The Designery is a lovely kitchen, bath, and closet remodeling company. We do pretty much any of the utility spaces in your house. If you want to store things in your cabinets, if you want to work on things on your countertops, if you want to have a floor that can get wet or muddy, we're the place to help you fix your home up.
We are The Designery North Raleigh, located at 3030 Wake Forest Road in the Holly Park Plaza. We would love to see you, or visit our website at thedesignery.com.
Let's quit that. Let's hit this.
It means more.
I need practice updates from the Canes, Dennis. I know they practiced today. I know they wanted to flush yesterday's game kind of, you know, out with the trash. What did we learn today about guys healthy, coming back, not coming back? What do we got?
Okay, so they had a full team practice today, did the Carolina Hurricanes, their good friend Walt Ruff. Jesper Fast was back at practice, but wearing a yellow non-contact jersey. So, like, hey, don't touch me. I'm still coming back from injury. He's missed four games. According to Rob Brendamore, saying, quote, right around the corner when it comes to Jesper Fast returning to the lineup. Also, Martin Natchez was not at today's skate. Head coach said he wasn't feeling 100%. Now, what does that mean? I don't know if he's got the sniffles. I don't know if it's all the pollen, even though it's raining today and it's washing away. Not entirely sure, but nonetheless, Martin Natchez not at practice today as well. But both goalies, in terms of Kochetkov, Anderson, at practice today as well.
I love the vague of NHL updates. He's not feeling 100%. That could mean... Also, you know what else is true?
What's that?
On, what is it, March 27th? Is that the date?
That's today.
There are zero NHL players feeling 100% on March 27th.
There's also that, too.
It could just be a maintenance day. Wasn't feeling 100%.
Be.
You know who else isn't feeling 100%?
Everybody.
Yeah. Aho, Svech, Gensel, the new guys, the old guys, the goalies, the Brindamore. Nobody's feeling 100% March 27th.
So they play tomorrow at home, and they also play again on Saturday on the road.
Home against Detroit, on the road, Montreal.
So those two games, those are games 13 and 14 of the month of March, 14 games in 24 days for the Canes. 14 games in 24 days. That is absurd.
And I was just talking about this with Paul Eihander, who hosts Next Up. Good thing I don't host that show. I can't say it. Who hosts Next Up from 9 to 10 right here on 99.9 The Fan every morning. We were talking about it today in the office. The rest of this season, I think you're going to see the Canes. I don't want to – it's the wrong way to say deprioritize it, but there is an element of make sure you're healthy and all systems go for the postseason, right? They're going to make the postseason.
Yeah.
They, as I've said a billion trillion times, everyone's probably tired of me saying it, they can't prove anything to me in the regular season. This season's success or failure will be judged on how far they make it in the postseason. There is an element in a build, right? You start off rebuilding, then you're a contender. There's an element in the build where you pass the point of like, hey, a good regular season is an accomplishment. It's expected. They're at that point now. So you're right. They played a ton of games in the last 14 days. Part of me goes, do you really want your guys playing a ton of games in 14 days? If they are less than 100% or however you want to describe it, like if Natchez needs a day off, guess what Natchez should get?
Day off.
Yeah. If he needs the weekend, guess what he should get?
The weekend.
The weekend.
Well, yeah.
And you're going to have to work some of those into the next half month here because April 16th is your last game. You're going to have to work some of those in for guys that have played a long season and are getting ready to play a long and intense and bitter postseason. So if he needs a day, give him a day. If he needs a weekend, give him a weekend.
And then after Saturday, they have 4 days off until Thursday of next week, until their next game. So they have a little bit of a mini break.
So it's kind of like somebody called timeout 10 seconds before the media timeout. All right, I'm going to sit him here, right? they're going to get 10 seconds of game time out, but they're actually going to be on the bench for, 7 minutes, 8 minutes, and it's going to get him a big breather. If Nate just needs a break until, right, that break, you could end up getting him a week off with only missing two games.
It's one way to do it. But then when they come back, it's 7 games in 12 days, and then it's playoff time.
And then it's playoff time, which is all, I can't emphasize this enough, it's all that matters.
We're basically 3 weeks away from the playoffs. The regular season ends on April 16th, which is three weeks
away
from
yesterday. Right now, it's December 7th, and you're saying it's almost Christmas?
Yeah,
and it's going like, yeah, but I still got like 10 days of class in elementary school.
Yeah, I know.
And like, it's close, but it's not. You know what I mean?
I know.
I've been watching ads for you know, ornaments and stuff for the last 3 weeks. It feels like it should be here, but it's not. We're right on the cusp. Let's quit that. Let's hit this.
Got him!
This day, 2 years ago.
2 years ago.
Is the day that Duke and North Carolina simultaneously punched their tickets to the Final Four where they would face off. This was the last tournament run of Coach K. Mm-hmm. This was the first tournament run of Hubert Davis. It was where Caleb Love made his he had already made his name, but it's where he etched himself into lore. There's quite a bit of nostalgia for 2 years ago bouncing around the triangle right now.
It's crazy to think that it's so much has changed since then.
So much has changed, yet it stays the same.
Yeah, it
yet
really
Duke
has.
And Carolina are both still in the Sweet 16.
Yet they still are. See, look at all these ACC schools having success. Some things have not changed, Joe Lunardi. But it's I remember at that time when the tournament began, because North Carolina was an 8 seed. And we were looking at, like, the regionals, like, huh, that's funny. Like, if Carolina and Duke made runs to the Final Four, they'd play each other. Like, we're all kind of like, oh, okay, that'd be kind of neat. And then they both made it to the Sweet 16. We're like, oh, this could actually be a thing. Then they both won their Sweet 16 game. We're like, oh, we're like, this is might be a real thing here. And then they both won in the Elite Eight. We're just like, oh, my goodness.
Do you know what's similar?
This is going to be the first and probably maybe only time this is ever going to happen.
That you're exactly right. And you do, when the bracket comes out, you do play out those dream matchups.
Oh, the storylines? Absolutely.
This year, there's two that are still alive.
Mm-hmm.
Duke and NC State. Oh, actually, there's a bunch that are still, like, yeah, if you're doing the Duke UNC thing, that could be a finals match. But, like, Duke State meeting in the Elite Eight. That's one that as soon as it happened, we went like, ooh. Also, Caleb Love, speaking of, against UNC. That would be an Elite Eight matchup as well.
If UNC versus Arizona, yeah.
Still alive. There are some dream matchups that are still alive in the same way that you do that kind of like, oh, look, Duke and Carolina could meet up in the Final Four, and then it happened. These other ones could still happen also.
I love it.
I love it too. I love March Madness so much.
Did you know that your unused medications could end up in the wrong hands? It's important to keep your medications secure in a locked location, such as a locking box or locking cabinet. When it's time to dispose of them, safely and properly dispose of old, expired, or unused meds by using an at-home disposal product or a medication disposal box in your community. Don't miss out on medication take-back events happening near you. Don't let anyone take what's yours. Lock your meds. Be aware. Don't share. Learn more at lockyourmeds.org/NC.